Yes again, everybody, it's BitNote with David Collins. We'll be playing great video game music tracks and hope you enjoy yourselves. Okay, so in this show, I try not to play too many tracks from a single game series, and that's an effort that's going to fail with the first song of this series. I've just recently completed a game of a series that I like playing, and I think I'll just play it along. It consists of two tracks, and it's the main credit themes. Enjoy! And that, my friends, is the Maul Music, a saxophone remix from the best ending of the most recent Dead Rising video game, Dead Rising 2, off the record. The background music actually has a bit of a history throughout the series. It was originally composed and just simply titled Maul Music for the original Dead Rising game and was probably composed by Hideki Okurawa and Marika Suzuki. Essentially, the first game takes place in a shopping mall or a shopping center. You know, apparently it's a mall because it's American and everything. And essentially, it's the most basic, simple, straightforward premise. You're trapped in a mall with zombies for 72 hours, and you've basically got to do whatever you want until the rescue arrives. You can either just go around beating up zombies, or you can take part in a quest, or you can spend your time rescuing various survivors about the place. It was the first real zombie Dead Rising game, and I think it was really the first zombie that really encapsulated the feeling of, you know, a gigantic horde of zombies that were against you. You know, I mean, most zombies had appeared in video games before, but they tended to be very irritating enemies because they just walked towards you. Dead Rising was the first game which got the philosophy of a zombie where, you know, a zombie on its own is easy to dispatch, but the problem is there's so many of them, and if you go through a horde of zombies, the chance of one of them doing damage to you increases and everything. But, obviously, there was a version of that music, of course, that wasn't saxophone involved, played in the background, and it was one of the more humorous aspects of the game, that you had this light muzak playing in the background, while in the foreground you'd be grabbing a great big 2x4 and smashing some zombie over the head with it. I've talked about the original Dead Rising before, which was released a few years ago for the Xbox, and one of the few examples of a game that really made the Xbox 360, you know, work for it by having all these zombies on the screen at the same time and using so many algorithms to be able to calculate all this sort of stuff. But the game was pretty successful, and so Capcom recruited this other Canadian game developer called Blue Castle in order to develop a sequel. And later, of course, Capcom were so satisfied with their work, they bought out the company and renamed them Capcom Vancouver. But they created Dead Rising 2, which is pretty cool, and then they created like a bit of a demo called Dead Rising K-Zero, and then which was a small little episode just to set yourself up for it. And then they created a Dead Rising 2 Case West, and then, of course, Dead Rising 2 Off the Record. Now, Off the Record is actually something that doesn't happen very often. It's kind of like a reimagining of a video game. This means that it takes place in the same place as Dead Rising 2 and has the same general plot as Dead Rising 2 and a lot of the same features as Dead Rising 2. But instead of playing as Chuck Green, which is your protagonist in Dead Rising 2, you're playing as Frank West, which was the protagonist in the very first Dead Rising game, you know, just called Dead Rising. So essentially a lot of fans said, oh no, you know, why are we playing as Chuck Green? You know, can't we play as the original Frank West? And I mean, to be honest, Chuck Green sort of grew on me, but apparently the studio listened and they said, okay, we're going to create a reimagining, you know, a what-if scenario, you know, a possibility that basically rewrites the entire game of Dead Rising 2 so that instead of Chuck Green being the main protagonist, it's Frank West. And so instead of being, you know, Chuck Green going around and doing all this sort of stuff and being a mechanic, it's Frank West who's breaking open the story. And it's actually pretty cool. I mean, to be honest, it's blatantly an attempt of a studio just to try to make as much money as they can, unfortunately, because obviously the amount of effort involved in completely recreating a new city and a new scenario and throwing everything new and a new plot and everything, those are hugely expensive, especially in more mainstream video games. So if the people can actually like reuse a lot of assets and still try to make something that's still interesting enough that people actually buy it, then, you know, that's kind of a win for them because, you know, they're expending less and still making money. Well, hopefully the fans won't be too offended by the fact that they're paying for something which a lot of which they've seen before. Myself, I just waited until the price went down and then bought it and was pretty happy from there on because it's a fun game. And I mean, just a lot of the stuff in the series just doesn't get old. It's beating up zombies and that's always a bit of fun. I mean, I know that, you know, it's not exactly a highbrow experience, but it's quite a fun. There's actually a lot of diversity, and there's just the game just has a lot of variations of doing the same things and fun ways of trying to figure it out. It's one of the few games that actually gives you a scenario but doesn't handhold you through the whole process, so a lot of it's just exploration, figuring things out for yourself. But enough about that. Let's move on to something that's actually been happening pretty interesting in the game music sphere recently. It is the Humble Music Bundle. Now, I've talked to you before about the Humble Indie Bundle. This was when a bunch of people got together a couple of indie games, that's independent video games, created by usually small studios, made a bundle out of them and let people determine their own price for them. Now, this was a huge success, and I've talked a bit about one of the previous bundles before, but now they've always thrown variation into it, and now there's a new bundle, only it's the Humble Music Bundle. Instead of it being a selection of indie games, they are actually a selection of albums by composers and musicians that usually have something to do with video games themselves. So the rules stay the same. You've got 5 albums, and you pay whatever price you want to it, even if it's a single cent, and you still get all 5 albums. If you pay over an average, you usually get some extra content, and essentially speaking, you know, these are free, these are DRM, you can play them anywhere, and they're just, you know, a lot of fun. So what games music are there, do you ask? Well, that you've got one by Hitoshi Sakamoto, the best of Valkyria Chronicles. Now, that composer also did a lot of Final Fantasy music. I haven't really known much about the music of each of them, but there you go. You've got Jonathan Coulton's Greatest Hits, plus 13 other songs. He played the classic music of Stay Alive at the end of Portal, but he's also made quite a few other songs that have kind of become hits, you know, on the internet that you tend to crop up a lot, like Re Your Brains and that other one, I Feel Fantastic. Oh boy, I remember the first time I heard that song. It's quite a while back. But essentially, there's also Christopher Tin with the album Calling All Dawns. He's made a lot of music for the Civilization. And they've also got other composers like MC Frontalot and They Might Be Giants, with the bonus album being by OK Go. These are really big artists, and like I said, all the music is, you know, once you pay, you get the music, and you can, like, play them anywhere. There are no digital restrictions or anything, and it's basically, it's a bit of an experiment. They By the time you hear about this, there's probably only going to be like 3 days left. And if this show accidentally gets postponed a week, or you just pick it up on podcast and the chances are it's already ended. So really apologies to all those people in the future who I'm telling about this exciting opportunity that they now have the anguish of never being able to take advantage of. But right now it's raised over 350 grand and a lot of people are paying for a lot of cool class games. So it's at humblebundle.com. And just to give you a small sampling, I, of course, have already purchased it. I'll be playing you a Christopher Tin track. I'm not that familiar with the Civilization series, unfortunately. It's quite an epic series that a lot of people have talked about. Basically, it's like building on civilization, developing society and everything. But what I'll be showing you is called Dao Zai Fen Ye, featuring Jue Ruan. And hope you enjoy. And remember, it's humblebundle.com if you want to take advantage of this offer, and it's still chronologically possible for you to do so. And that, once again, was Dao Zai Fan Ye featuring Jia Ruan by Christopher Tin, and I believe that was in Civilization 4. Essentially, he's actually one of the few... he's actually a Grammy winner, Christopher Tin is, which is amazing for making video game music, basically. But, I mean, it just goes to show there's such an incredible talent and quality and brilliance in various music out there, and it should always be recognized. Now, of course, video game music wouldn't be complete without catchy little tunes from retro consoles that get stuck in everybody's head, and people end up sort of humming them or suddenly recognizing when they come across. That's the track I'm going to play next, because I believe in just focusing on the full spectrum of video game music and the huge amount of diversity it has within it. So without further ado, let's see if anyone recognizes this song. And that, my friends, is the Dr. Mario Fever theme, and it's actually a remastered version used for Super Smash Bros. Melee, which actually is a whole different game, which I probably should talk about later. But for the point is, the theme was originally composed by Hirokazu Tanaka, and it was made for a game called Dr. Mario by Nintendo. Now, Dr. Mario is one of those games that was a lot of fun and got ported to a bunch of platforms. Essentially, it's kind of one of those falling block puzzles. There's this jar in the screen, and it's filled up with all these germs of different colors. And down from the screen fall these pills that are always, you know, two segments that are usually two different colors, although, of course, the pill could be the old thing. And the thing is, you got to land the pills on the germs and get a row of colors that are the same color as the germ, and then line them up with the germ so that gradually you destroy the germ, and then you keep doing this to all the other germs, and you get rid of all the germs, and then, assumedly, the patient is happy and healthy, and then you have to move on to a next level, which has even more germs. So it's kind of like a mix-up. I know that everyone like points Tetris as in falling blocks, but it's kind of a mix-up on that formula with the match, you know, matching colors and things falling from the sky. But it's definitely got its own quality to it. The fact it's actually got levels as opposed to, you know, you having to rapidly remove the blocks and just getting harder with each level. The fact that it's a real challenge you got to do that, and you've got to keep removing all the items, get to the next level. It makes it a lot of fun. It's kind of actually, a lot of people take the piss out about it, because the fact of the matter is that Mario, as most of you probably know, is a plumber. So what exactly is a plumber doing impersonating a doctor is kind of, you know, disturbing as such. The fact is that Mario seems to do a freelance or do nixtures all over the place. He plays baseball, football, goes kart racing, pretty much any job that, you know, he suddenly finds himself getting into. So the fact that he's performing a doctor and his best cure to curing people's diseases is shoving as many pills as possible down their throat, it doesn't exactly inspire confidence. I'm sorry to say. But the theme tune is actually brilliant, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, you've just listened to it there. It's kind of, it gets into your head. It's a bit of fun. It's bouncy and beat. The version you just heard is from, like I said, from Super Smash Bros. Melee. So it's kind of a whole, like, version where they, you know, revamped everything and gave it a great quality and everything. So it's pretty damn cool. And the Super Smash Bros. Series itself is this hugely successful series by Nintendo. Basically, they take a bunch of Nintendo characters from so many other past franchises. Everything from obscure ones like the Ice Climbers to Donkey Kong to, of course, Mario, obviously. And, of course, Zelda with Link. And they basically just put them in an arena and have them fight each other. Yep, it's a fighting game, but it's kind of a twist. Instead of having to just beat the crap out of each other until their life gauge seriously depletes, what you've got to do is actually just knock them out of the arena, and that's it. The thing is that the more damage they take, the easier it is to knock them out of the arena, so it's a whole, like, challenge just getting enough to do it. The most recent version, Super Smash Bros. Brawl, even included some non-Nintendo characters like Solid Snake from the Metal Gear Solid and Metal Gear Solid series, and of course Sonic the Hedgehog from, surprise surprise, the Sonic the Hedgehog series. So it's kind of like a whole fantastic thing. It's like the whole, like comic book guys might wonder what would happen if all these superhero people, like, fought each other, who would win. But when it's video games, it's having all the little it's having various video game characters fight each other in all these beautiful terrains. It's a great series, very polished, and I guess that a lot of people like it. So, what to do for the last theme of the show? Well, I'll have to say, tell you something. There's one song that I've actually wanted to play figured I'd play for a bit, and that's the Angry Birds theme tune. Now, I've already talked about the composer. If you remember, the composer of this tune is Ari Pulkkinen. He's a Finnish composer, and the reason I've talked about him before was because way back in the early days, I was playing some music from Shadowgrounds series. Shadowgrounds or Shadowgrounds 5, I'm pretty sure it was the original one. But that Shadowgrounds was, of course, made by a Finnish game development company, and Ari made some nice, great tracks for that. But then, of course, Rovio made its Angry Birds series, and they wanted music, and they called up Ari, and he ended up creating a nice, bouncy, cartoony tune that ended up becoming imprinted in everybody's head all across the entire world as people all over the world were playing Angry Birds. I've been in gaming some time, and every once in a while, something completely takes you by surprise, but the popularity of Angry Birds is practically on par with Tetris. It's simple, basic, and it's everywhere. The predominance of mobile platforms. I mean, back with Tetris, at least you needed a Game Boy. Here, you know, everyone has an iPhone or an Android or anything. You can even play it online with a browser, pretty much free from a lot of the levels. It's just amazing how successful it's been. There have been scientific studies trying to figure out how successful it is. There have been plush toys made of it. Well, that's nothing unusual in terms of merchandise, but there have been people talking about it. It's made gigantic amounts of money. And unfortunately, as someone who's keeping traps with the game developer scene, a lot of people just suddenly desperately want to copy it. They see it as the formula of success, and they keep thinking, if we do the same thing, we'll make millions like Rovio do. But, of course, they don't really, and if they do, it's usually because they've got a lot more going than a single-minded desire to rip off the most successful thing in the world. But Angry Birds, boy. To be honest, I play it, and I enjoy it, but I never got addicted to it. I mean, I don't know why. Why am I immune? Is it because I have had years of experience with video games, and so I have immunized myself against the most obvious ways to get addicted to a series? Or is it because I have the elitist stance? I stand tall and look down on these petty Angry Birds casual games that I do not deign to give myself the my attention due to my lofty goals, obsessed with these artistic games and sophisticated games and games with complex systems, and that these small mainstream mass media games are not worthy of my attention. But the truth is, I actually do like it. I played a few levels. It's just, I kind of got bored of it after a while. I still play. I've played it recently, played a few levels, and it was fine. It's just, you flip the birds across the screen, and sometimes they hit it, sometimes they don't. But there's no real deep strategy. It's so random that unless you desperately think it's, you know, randomness is going to work, then, you know, why bother? But then again, maybe I'm wrong. I think I've never really liked any game that where randomness is an aspect of it. I don't even like role-playing games where you have to keep hitting them, and maybe it'll drop an item, maybe it won't, because games like that are like pulling the arm in one of those one-armed bandit, you know, gambling machines. People keep pulling and spinning and hoping, but for me, I quickly see the point. The chances of me getting off any better are not that good. So if something's going to be rely on chance, not any skill, if I can't bring some innate skill or ability or something to the table, I just tend to leave it as it is. So, yeah. Now, the music I'm about to play, I realized I can't really just play the main music theme. It's just so, you know, it probably drive people nuts. They probably heard it way too often. There's got to be some variation or some twist I can put to it. And fortunately, I did. You see, when a popular tune comes up, obviously there are a lot of variations. There can be parodies, remixes, a cappella versions. But how would you like a version that was done by the London Philharmonic Orchestra? That's correct. The London Philharmonic Orchestra, with composer Andrew Skeat, actually put together an entire performance of video game music, including many classic titles that I have played on this show. And not only did they make a performance of it, they've got a whole CD of it. So, I've purchased the CD, and what I'm about to play to you is one track from that great performance, the Angry Birds theme, composed, as I said, by Ari Pulkkinen, and who himself absolutely loves this rendition of the song. So I'm not only playing a great song and not only doing a great version of it, but it's one that the original artist even approves of. So here we have the Angry Birds theme as performed by the London Philharmonic Orchestra. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening. Oh, and just a reminder for those who may have missed it, for that music bundle I talked about earlier, it's humblebundle.com. But thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the Angry Birds theme performed by the London Philharmonic Orchestra. Thank you.